I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You want to hug this guy, the head coach that kept the Super Bowl from you having one?
Not really.
That's Brian Billick.
What a huge loss. Roger Goodell doesn't get to hug the I don't know if I'm going to watch tonight.
What's happening? Coach Brian Billick joins us in studio. My nemesis.
You love me, man. That's 25 years ago, man.
What? Dude.
I've got the ring here if you want to just take a picture.
Look at this. It's torturing me. This time of year, Coach, it's chaotic. It's nuts, because you analyze this as well as I do. It's so much nonsense.
It is. Can you imagine tonight, based on the numbers, there may be upwards of 15 million people watching tonight. Now, that's going to outdraw NHL and NBA playoff games. Games. Right. I sound like Allen Iverson, but games, man. We're talking about the games.
Not practice.
Not, but the games on a show that's really nothing more than making a list. Right. Isn't that incredible?
Right. It is. And we don't even know what that list is, but the speculation around this. I know this. Who do you like? Who do you not like? But the pressure that these coaches and general managers feel, can you put it into words?
You know what? And particularly now, because it's so pervasive, and with social media, and people have how many mock drafts, a lot of which, and it's great because they want to follow this and that. But the fact of the matter is they don't know the difference between a quarterback and a quarter pounder, right? But they hear this, they hear that, they put the list. I always love the fact, this guy's zooming up the draft boards. Well, no. He was there. You're just now finding out about it. Yeah. So he zoomed up your draft board. But you're right. The speculation that, but the sheer numbers of it, they say there's going to be probably close to 60 million people view over the 3 days. Probably 300,000 in Detroit, which is great. But it is. It's such an amazing spectacle on basically, the frustrating thing as a coach and a GM is, you could sit down. We could do the entire draft probably in about 3 hours. If you just sat down, went through, go. But you have to make this drama about it.
Well, think about how it's – I remember it wasn't even that long ago when it was over the weekend. It was a Saturday and Sunday. And now it's this primetime event that's gotten dragged out over numerous days. I think as a fan, I like it. I like it as a primetime event. Would you have liked it if you were making picks with a Thursday night and
it's a long couple days. But you're right. You've got to do it. A lot of it because of the fantasy leagues. Right. Everybody, my 8-year-old grandson, you could sit him down right now. He's in 4 or 5 fantasy leagues. He could tell you, you give him a team, he'll tell you the quarterback, his completion percentage, who the starting running back, receivers, tight ends, wide receivers. I mean, like he's reading it off a computer. It's absolutely amazing.
Now, when you look at the draft, it becomes now so focused on quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Now, earlier, I know you were doing some hits on a media tour here. You were talking about these like courage films that you would give your quarterbacks. Why do you need to do that?
Because there is so much data, and you've got to be able to cut through what it is you're looking at. First off, the hard thing about taking a quarterback. Of the maybe 300 and 350 throws he'll make in a given year, there's only about, I had one scout tell me, probably about 15% of them are legitimate NFL-type throws that you can look at and say, okay, that's a throw he's going to have to make.
Right, this is the kid in college.
Correct.
The throws he made in college, maybe 10% translate to what he's going to have to do in
the NFL. So now I got to decide if I'm going to make this kid a first-round pick, put my job on the line on maybe 40 or 50 throws. Wow. And does that translate into the NFL? And that's the tough part because when it comes to take, I wrote a book on it called The Q Factor. I think we talked about when I wrote it in 2018. The fact of the matter is that all these young men have got the credentials. They are deserving of being top round picks. Okay. No matter what the analytics, you can like one over another and they're touching and whatever. At the end of the day, 50% of them are going to fail. That's just the numbers. That's what it's going to be. And you would think in today's with the analytics and the experience, and the bottom line is Bill Walsh always reminded me, nobody knows anything when it comes to quarter. You really don't. You can think, you know, you may be on the positive side of the 50-50 equation, so think you know what it is to be a great quarterback. Because the hard thing is, any other position, you can kind of quantify it to a degree.
Yeah, of course.
How but for the quarterback are, position, right. If the three of us here discuss, let's name the top 10 quarterbacks of all time. Between the three of us, we'll come up with, what, 12, 13 guys.
Yeah.
But then look at each of those guys. What made them Hall of Famers? What made them great? Something different for each.
Right.
Whether it's the quick release of a Dan Marino, the pure throwing action of Warren Moon, the athleticism of Steve Young, the intellect of a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning. I mean, each one had something. They all had, obviously, fundamental abilities, but there was something about them that made them great. So that's what you got to ask yourself about these five guys.
Yeah.
What is special about them that's going to translate into the NFL that's going to make them great? And that's a lot tougher.
Do you feel, looking at any of these five guys, that any of them can be great?
I think they all can be great. They really can. You can make a case for all of them. And again, you're going to be wrong half of the time. The book I alluded to, we did the 2018 draft. And what we did is we took the draft. That was the Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold.
I remember it well as a Jets fan. Yeah.
Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Right.
And they're across the board. Here is the reason why they were there. And we tracked them going in, and here's why we think they're good, or what said about them, what teams took them. And then we didn't actually write the book until a year and a half after, because we didn't, you know. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a revisionist, you know, afterwards going, oh, well, I knew.
Yeah.
And there again, you had two of them that turned out okay with Allen and Lamar Jackson. And three of them are not.
How much of it is organization? Because I think as Jet fans, we assume our organization, different names, sometimes it's Adam Gase, sometimes it was the Saleh era, that they led to screwing up at quarterback.
It's a combination of both, because it's a matter of, certainly they have to have the talent, and sometimes it just doesn't translate. And it does have, because, yeah, are there guys that probably had the talent but just got into the wrong circumstance? You know, that could be true.
Yeah.
We talked with Bill Polian. And he was great. I was appreciated him being so honest. Remember, that was the Peyton Manning, Drew Bledsoe draft. Now everybody, I knew Drew Bledsoe. That's a bold-faced lie. We all had them touching.
Yeah.
And there was a debate. And Bill was very honestly said, you know, at the end of the day, because everybody at the time, Peyton Manning was as good as he ever going to be. You know, he had the great pedigree and whatever. Much bigger upside in Ryan Leaf, maybe. And he said they were touching. Ultimately, for them, they said it was what we wanted to be as an organization, and the personality.
Right, what that he represented.
That Peyton Manning was the right choice. Right. And it turned out to be the right choice.
God, yeah.
But Bill Polian, Hall of Fame general manager, was basically saying, we rolled the 50-50 dice, and we happened to finish on the positive side of the 50-50.
Right. Is it healthy, Coach, that we feel like the quarterback is the end-all, be-all to winning? Because, I mean, I know this because how you guys beat the crap out of us in 2001 Super Bowl. You guys were built with defense, right? I mean, obviously everybody talks about Ray Lewis, but Ray Lewis was the least of our problems when Sam Adams and Tony Siragusa, may rest in peace, are literally, and I'm not even joking, 700 pounds in the middle of your defense, but athletes, right? And you got Suggs, and like, it used to be complete.
Right.
Now it's find the quarterback. I feel like it's unhealthy.
It is, and you can lose track sometimes, or lose your way if you think it is all just the quarterback. But in today's game, we got to remember when we won that championship, Tampa Bay and New Orleans, New England, the next with Brad Johnson and a rookie, you know, Tom Brady. Those teams you could win with great defense because we were at it. Nexus point. We were transitioned out of the Marinos, the Elways, the Montanas. We had not yet come in to the Mannings and the Breezes and the Bradys and the like. So there was a void of the dominant quarterback play. So great defense, complete team could win a championship.
Interesting.
Today, you better be a complete team, but you better have that quarterback. It doesn't have to be a Hall of Famer.
Right.
But he better be competent enough on a long enough playing field to where you can throw the game on his back at key times, particularly in the playoffs. So in that standpoint, no, you better get that right. So it is important. But yeah, the other stuff's pretty important,
right,
too.
No doubt. We're talking to Super Bowl winning head coach Brian Billick. So the big debate around here for tonight is what the Giants should do.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And Tiki has an opinion as a Giant legend. A lot of Giant fans have been screaming and yelling, do they get a quarterback? Do they already have a quarterback? If you were Joe Shane, year three, you're picking at six, you could always trade up, what would you do?
Well, that comes down to where are you on Daniel Jones? Mm-hmm. You know, where do you do? Is there a conviction there that we think?
Well, feels healthy, right? They're saying he's healthy. And I think that's half the battle
that
with him,
can
to be honest
be,
with
that
you.
Can be a factor. Bill Walsh was a firm believer that by the 22nd, 23rd game, if they're not it by then, they're not. Now, that could happen before. But if you don't see it by then, that's really, as a starter, if he starts going in the first year and a half or so, if you still have some questions, Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh is a perfect example. The end of this last season looked pretty good. Not last season, the season before.
Right.
He was on the uptrend. Mm. So now he had that half season. Okay, now you're the guy. Well, clearly you got through the and went, no, this is so you pull the trigger and you go. So that's really what they have to decide on. Mm. Do they think Jones is that guy? If they think Fields okay and you can okay, then great. If that's the case and it looks like you've rolled the dice that way, then yeah, you go someplace else. And the good news is when you have a draft, when you have this many quarterbacks taken early, mm-hmm. some awful good players
right.
get pushed back into you. Guys that normally, a Marvin Harrison who normally would go number one, that tackle all maybe could be number one or two. Some good player could get pushed. So the idea of falling back a little bit, let someone else move up in that spot because there's going to be a blue chip player that normally wouldn't be there because we're going to take 3, 4, 5, right. however many quarterbacks in the top 10 or 15. That can be a pretty shrewd move.
And see, that's why I get excited about the skill position players and the offensive linemen and these other non-quarterbacks in this draft because people are desperate for the quarterback. Denver is desperate for a quarterback. The Raiders are desperate for a quarterback. The Minnesota Vikings, I mean, they traded to get back into the first round, so they have assets to trade up because they're desperate for a quarterback. One of these wide receivers, I'm right there saying they're almost all three of those guys, Adunze, Marvin Harrison Jr., who you mentioned, and Malik Nabers, they feel bust-proof, right? And if that guy falls to you, how do you not take him?
Yeah.
Right? Because at the end of the day, you have to take a star if you're in the top 10. And if you don't, it's eventually going to cost you your job. Right, and some guys get away with doing it, and not like your guy.
And that's
Joe Douglas
what,
got
that's
away with it with
Zach about,
Wilson, but he fixed it because he brought in Aaron Rodgers.
That's what worries me about this quarterback draft because any you go back and look, and when you look at the years when 4 and 5 guys are taken,
mm-hmm.
9 out of 10 times it's because of need. Need's a terrible evaluator, and because there's so much need at quarterback,
I like that.
Sometimes these guys can get elevated, and then that falls into that 50-50. When you look at the 2021 draft. Only one of the 5 quarterbacks is even with the same team.
Right.
2018 draft, which we just talked about, where 2 out of the 5 have made it. So with this many quarterbacks, there's just that many good quarterbacks? Yeah. Or is part of it there's so much need, mm-hmm. and now there's so much talk about taking him in the first round, does that exacerbate the fact that, you're going to be on the 50-50 mark? Because they really some of these guys – in a saner moment, might be more legitimate early second round picks.
Right, it scares the hell out of you. Because what you just said, when there's so much need and there's so much desperation, it heats up a market that might not have that much fire underneath it, but it makes you desperate. But I keep getting caught with the repercussion for the staff, so the coach and the general manager. Now, we've talked about this with Joe Shane and with Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh with the Jets, but I'm of the belief that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll with the Giants, it doesn't feel as desperate for them. Like, I feel like the Jets have to win. As things go wrong, they're all getting fired.
Well, damn right. We got a 40-year-old quarterback.
Right, they're all getting fired. It's over if they don't do what they're supposed to do. The Giants, I don't feel like the pressure is the same.
You know,
how do you view the
job, there's that pressure.
Yeah.
It really is. There's not that. I mean, and you recognize, particularly if you're going to take a quarterback in the first round, that's tough to survive if it doesn't turn out. Equally tough to survive if you take a guy, don't take a guy, if let's say magically Chicago doesn't take Caleb Williams and he ends up being lights out. And conversely, if obviously you take a guy and the pressure's the same. I don't know. I don't follow it that closely. I got to believe Brian Daboll. It's not like he's on the Rock of Gibraltar. I mean,
no, sounds
like there's some pressure. And is that pressure there? Yes, it is. Do you think about it all the time? You let it overwhelm you? No. But, yeah, you got to get it right. And you can't let it dictate the decision. You can't. One thing Ozzie Newsome was so brilliant about was he made sure that we did the things in free agency that and they've drafted very, very well that didn't force your hand on draft day. That because you didn't get it addressed,
right.
You feel compelled. You know, it's that everybody, how many times are we going to hear, well, it's the best player available, best player on the board.
Right.
Which is a bold-faced lie. I mean, at the end of the day, once you get past maybe the difference between the 15th player on your board and the 20th may be pretty substantial.
Mm.
The 20th to the 25th. The difference between the 30th player and the 40th and the 50th, not so much.
Right.
And it was always a matter, it's always amazed me, particularly in the latter rounds, that we always take the best player available. And I'll be damned if the best player available wasn't at a position we need. Isn't that great how that turned
right,
out?
Right.
So there is that warping effect.
Well, right. I think that, I mean, honestly, that's what Joe Douglas needs to do. Like, their best, they need to add to their offense. Like, that's how we all feel as Jet fans. If it's another tackle to add more depth to the offensive line, great. If it's another wide receiver to have Aaron Rodgers get a new toy, great. If it's Brock Bowers, the tight. Anything on offense, and whoever the best available guy is at 10, they should go out and get. Now, Joe Douglas worked on your staff?
He was on our staff in Baltimore, and Joe was great. Joe was a grinder.
Yeah.
I will tell you that. Whatever decision they make, it is thoroughly vetted because Joe is one of those guys mm-hmm. that he is a grinder on the film. No stone unturned. And they're going to make a choice. They're going to believe in their hearts, this is the guy. But again, you can't let it dictate by need. It does tend to work out that way because even at the end of the day, even if when you're picking up 6th or 12th or 15th, there's usually the players we used to say they're touching, that they're close enough that it's hard to quantify, you know what, we need a tackle,
mm-hmm.
but this DB and this tackle are really about the same, and it's hard to separate the two, so why not take the tackle if that's more of a need? Now, you got to be convinced that they really are the same. You can't talk yourself into a guy that the tackle, well, you know, he's really not as good, but he's kind of as good, particularly if you're talking, because the Giants are picking in that blue chip area.
Yeah.
You can't pass on taking a blue chip. And usually the blue chip board usually will go anywhere from 8 to 10 players in a given year.
Yeah.
And that's why you got to think real hard about trading out. You hear this, people right. trading out away from the blue chip. But now, if it's the quarterback and you just, that's fine. But you never trade out of that blue chip player.
I got to tell you, I'm very distracted by that ring. That is such a big, beautiful ring.
Quiet.
Well, he's got a beautiful ring. What am I telling
you? You're doing that on purpose.
No, I don't have a ring. I'm a Jet fan. I just think it's a very nice ring. Wow, very big, man. Tell us about Signal Relief, by the way.
You know, this we talked about it before, Tiki. This is the real deal. And the more I use this product, Signal Relief is basically it's a patch. It's not an icy patch or a tins patch. There's no goo or ointment. This is a standalone, reusable patch. You put it where you need it. That's what I love about it.
Well, I'm getting old.
Oh, believe me, you got a lot of places you need it, right?
I do.
But it works with the electrical signals in your body. You know, and pain is nothing more than an electrical signal, right? This helps mitigate that pain. You put it where you need it. I'm 18 holes on the golf course. It goes to my lower back. Hmm. It helps you then allows you to work through that pain because motion is medicine, right? That's where the real, you know that is.
Right.
The get you out of the training room and get you back on the field. That's where the rehab came from to work through it. Signal Relief is the real deal. You need to go to signalrelief.com and check out the science behind it because it's brilliant. But it mitigates it that white noise of pain and helps you now work through and get that motion of medicine. It's the real deal. Go to signalrelief.com. Put in promo code COACH. You get 20% off. This is the real deal. I promise you. It's the next level in mitigation.
These are reusable?
Absolutely. Up to a year. That's great. It's got an adhesive you put on it. You put it where, like I said, on golf. I get out of the pool.
Right.
I put it on my upper back. You know, you get off the tennis court or pickleball. Put it. You put it. But again, you put it between the pain and the brain, And all of a sudden now you can do those things you need to do to continue to get that motion. It's the real deal.
Nice. Even awesome. Non-athletes like Evan.
Even it takes longer with them, but it does work.
There you go. Thank you, Coach. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach.
Coach Brian Billick.